Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
City manager to ask for Irvin investigation. The battle between the Ector County Utility District and the city of Odessa is heating up, leaving the folks in West Odessa in the middle. Last Tuesday, the Odessa City Council, without discussion, voted to start billing ECUD on a month-to-month basis, and ECUD has filed documents with the Texas Public Utilities Commission alleging wrongdoing by the city. The city of Odessa has had a contract with ECUD to provide the district with water since October 1976, and it's been amended several times, most recently in November 2020. While the contract remains in effect until 2049, the city is required to review the wholesale rate annually and revise it based on the city's audited financial statement from the previous year, adjusted for known and measurable changes. Although there were no discussions prior to last week's vote, materials supplied to the council in advance of the meeting indicate City Attorney Dan Jones wanted to begin charging ECUD month to month because he believes the water rate contract signed in 2020 is invalid. Jones did not indicate why he thought so, but according to emails obtained by the Odessa American, through the Texas Public Information Act, he contends ECUD President Tommy Irvin cannot hold his seat because of drug felony convictions dating back to the 1970s. Since he can't hold that seat, his signature on the ECUD contract is invalid, Jones contends. Irvin insists he was pardoned. The Texas Rangers declined to launch an investigation after Odessa Headline publisher and Odessa Development Corporation Vice President Jeff Russell filed a complaint against him. The Rangers stated the merits of the allegation did not rise to a level of Texas Ranger investigative involvement. In an interview Friday, Irvin believes the city of Odessa is trying to harm his reputation because he has been consistently researching alternative water sources for West Odessans. If the alternative water sources decide not to deal with him, Irvin said the city believes they will continue to receive roughly $225,000 a month for water from ECUD and potentially benefit once Nacero Carbon Capture Plant becomes a reality in Pinwell. By the time Nacero is completely built out in 2033, it will require 8.7 million gallons of water a day, Irvin said. On Monday, Odessa City Manager John Beckmeyer refuted that idea. That allegation is without merit. I have no interest in discrediting anyone, only doing what it's in the best interest of the citizens of the city of Odessa and West Odessa, Beckmeyer said. He said his primary concern is whether the contract between ECUD and the city is valid. He said he intends to ask Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan to get down to the bottom of Irvin's alleged pardon, Beckmeyer said. Some people are under the impression that we're out to get Tommy Irvin. We are really not. We just want to make sure that we have valid contracts. And it's not just us. It's anyone that has a contract with ECUD needing to make sure the contracts are really valid, Beckmeyer said. ECUD said the city has been battling over the last few years over how the city determines how much to charge ECUD, Irvin said. In fact, an email obtained by the Odessa American indicates the city agreed to reimburse ECUD more than $1.9 million in March 2021 after ECUD disputed the way the city was billing them. Irvin said the money has been used to pay the city for several months' worth of water. The same issue arose again this year, but because certain city officials refuse to believe he was pardoned, Irvin said he has not been able to get them to the table like he and ECUD lawyers did in 2021. According to a letter sent to Utilities Director Kevin Niles, on August 16th, ECUD alleges the city overcharged the district $169,360 in fiscal year 21, $37,230 in fiscal year 22, and $111,000 as of August of this year. On August 21st, Mayor Javier Hovind responded with an email to Beckmeyer, Deputy City Manager Agapito Bernal, Jones, and Niles with the following. ECUD negotiated those rates, and they were not adjusting a thing. Also, we as a city cannot negotiate or respond to Irvin until ECUD resolves the board president issue. It's been a year. In September, Jones and ECUD attorney Randall Wilson exchanged a few letters with Jones saying Irvin should be able to produce a pardon or clemency, and since he has not, one must accept the fact that he remains a convicted felon in the state of Texas. Wilburn noted the allegations against Irvin have been put to rest by the Texas Rangers and the Texas Attorney General. He further wrote that the city has failed to provide the data and calculations supporting the rates changes. In one letter, Jones wrote, "It is imperative that ECUD not withhold payment otherwise. ECUD will place its customers in jeopardy of losing their water." During the phone interview Monday, Beckmeyer said, "We've never threatened or ever intend to cut off anyone's water, that's just not even a question." Despite the city's utility department's inability to show its work regarding its rate calculations, the district obtained the data required to calculate the rate charged, Wilborn wrote. The city's own data shows the city miscalculated the rates charged the district, Wilborn wrote. He also said ECUD was willing to sit down with the city to go over the calculations since the city has lost several key employees and likely does not have any current staff with knowledge of how to calculate the rate. The formula being used was laid out in the ECUD contract, and NewGen Strategies verified it was being used properly, Beckmeyer said. "We went out to a third party and we got them to refigure because the last thing you want to do is have a situation where we're overbilling and underfunding the multiple reasons. One, it is hard to refund money because generally it's already been spent, and another is it's not fair," Beckmeyer said. The third party actually verified that our billings were correct based on the formula that was laid out, and said, "Hey, we don't believe that we owe money." Irvin said Friday, "There are laws that prohibit the city from shutting off ECUD customers' water, so West Odessans need not fear that possibility." As for resolving the dispute, Irvin said ECUD is filing a petition with the Public Utility Commission of Texas to appeal the water rates imposed by the city. "I've been wanting to go to the PUC for a couple of years or more, but it's finally gotten to the point where the board said, 'Tommy, you're going to get your way. You can use the PUC,'" Irvin said. According to the petition, the city is supposed to base the rates on the city's audited financial statement from the previous year, adjusted for known and measurable changes, but it does not. Instead, the petition states, the city uses inflated budget numbers not adjusted to actual costs for calculating the rates in violation of the agreement. The petition states the water rates of the city are neither just nor reasonable and are in fact discriminatory against because they are not based on the actual cost of providing service to ECUD. The petitioner is willing and able to pay a just and reasonable rate for that water, the petition stated. Wilburn, ECUD's attorney, is also asking the commission to set interim rates until the situation is resolved. Failure to do so, he wrote, would result in an unreasonable economic hardship on ECUD. I don't believe the city is under the PC, but we'll work that out, Beckmeyer said. The contract issue needs to be addressed before anyone else, Beckmeyer said. We need to make sure we're not getting the horse in front of the cart. If we don't have a valid contract, then we don't have, truly, we don't have a formula, and we don't have stipulations on what the formula should be, he said. Beckmeyer said a Texas Court of Criminal Appeals rendered a decision last year stating the AG's office cannot investigate election violations because of the separation of powers. He believes Irwin not only can't hold office, but he violated the law during the application process. It was a made-up application that he made himself. The application only has like 3 of the 10 or 12 items on it that has to be on it, Beckmeyer said. Whenever you create an application for a filing, and this is whether it's state, local, county, any time it falls under election code, that application becomes a government document, and so there could really be some problems with this than just him getting a convicted felony. Modifying a government document inaccurately can rise to a pretty severe charge, he said. I want to make sure we have somebody elected that can actually sign documents, Beckmeyer said. He'll be reaching out to Galvin on the matter soon. The city has been spending a lot of time on the budget, so it hasn't been a priority, he said. I wouldn't want to say hope, but it would be that I would prefer is the district attorney would actually look into this, and if there's a relationship there between Mr. Irwin and the district attorney, it would be better if he did recuse himself and appoint somebody, whether it's deputizing someone from the attorney general's office. He can reach out to other entities too, Beckmeyer said. Irwin said he is 100% positive ECUD will emerge victorious, or else he wouldn't have pushed for the petition. They're going to have to prove their worksheet to the PUC, Irwin said. Hopefully it will be resolved once and for all, he said. We can't go through this crap every time there's a regime change, Irwin said. Irwin also confirmed City Councilwoman Denise Swanner last year applied for ECUD's director position, but ECUD hired former Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes. He has spent $4,000 on an attorney to try to find the documents he needs to prove he was pardoned, but the records are missing, he said. The state of Texas simply has poor record-keeping policies back then, he said. There's not even a log-on book to show you applied for the Parole and Pardons Board, Irwin said. His past hasn't been an issue until a year and a half ago, and in all of the years since his arrest, he's worked hard for his community, Irwin said. Even if he were to leave ECUD, Irwin said he would continue to look for alternative sources of water for West Odessa. No one at City Hall knows him or what his goals are for West Odessa, Irwin said. My goal is to make sure West Odessans get a quantity and quality of water for years and years to come, Irwin said. As for the Nacero plant, why can't the city partner up with ECUD instead of trying to wipe us off the face of the earth? Irwin asked. Texas drought has deepened amid this year's brutal heat. A lingering drought affecting more than 80% of Texas is causing wildfires, hurting agriculture, and drying up water supplies throughout the state. This year's drought comes less than a year after Texas experienced one of its worst droughts on record in 2022. Last year, we were lucky enough to start getting widespread rain during the last 3 weeks of August. Texas State climatologist John Nielsen Gammon said, "This time around, Texas didn't bail us out, and September's been a bit better, but certainly not enough to cause widespread improvements. After widespread rains in May and June that brought much of the state out of drought, Texas suffered through one of its hottest, driest summers on record. East Texas, Central Texas, South Texas, and some parts of West Texas are now affected by some level of drought. Areas where 24.1 million people live, according to drought.gov. Nearly 40% of the state is in an extreme or exceptional drought, the most severe levels according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Climate change both strengthens and lengthens heat waves, and the hotter temperatures make droughts more intense than they would be otherwise. The National Weather Service forecasts that the drought will ease this fall. Texas voters will head to the ballot box in November to decide whether the state should spend $1 billion to create a water fund to build new water supply projects. The lack of rainfall has caused many public water systems across the state to issue varying levels of water restrictions or ask the public to conserve water, according to the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. Nielsen Gammon noted that reservoirs in parts of Central Texas, which is facing its second driest summer on record for the second year in a row, are at record low levels. Lake Travis near Austin was 36% full on Thursday, down from 49% at the same time last year. In Temple, Stillhouse Hollow Lake has 58.5% full on Thursday compared to 76% this time last year. In North Fork, North Fork Buffalo Creek Reservoir near Wichita Falls was only 29.7% full on Thursday, a huge drop from 49.6% last year. As of Friday, the state's reservoirs were 66% full, according to the Texas Water Development Board. In an effort to bolster Texas's dwindling water supply, state lawmakers earlier this year approved Senate Bill 28, which would spend $1 billion on new water projects and repair aging infrastructure. If voters approve it, the money would help jumpstart projects such as marine desalinization and treating produced water, contaminated water produced by produced during crude oil production, with an emphasis on helping rural communities with a population of less than 150,000. Small communities can't afford to do those big projects anymore. Priorities got to be given to the little guy, said State Senator Charles Perry, Republican Lubbock, who authored Senate Bill 28. As Texas continues to grow, lawmakers are worried the state's water supply will not be able to keep up with demand as the state's population continues to grow. "Now we got that many more bodies drinking out of the faucet," Perry said. "It's compounds." The drought may not be as severe as 2011, but when it happens, you got that many more people impacted by it. It's Ronnie Snell, a cropping systems agroeconomist at Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Services, said the spring rains helped boost harvests of grain crops like corn and grain sorghum in South and Central Texas, but crops grown later in the year have been harmed by the extreme summer heat and drought, including cotton, a crop that's typically tolerant of dry weather. It's the second rough year for Texas cotton farmers, who reported $2 billion in crops losses last year. Compared to other crops, cotton tends to do better in hot, dry weather, but it still can be damaged if not enough rain is received, said John Robinson, a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension cotton economist. It's just another bad year for cotton. Farmers can irrigate their crops during dry periods, but Schnell said, "This summer's heat and drought have made it difficult for irrigation systems to keep up. When there's a drought and there's competition for water resources, at times it's going to impact agriculture because they may not always be able to get the water they need and when they need it, Schnell said. Crops are so sensitive to water at certain times of the year. They really need water at certain times of the year to make it as productive as possible. Wildfires are slowed as fall arrives. The parched conditions have led to an active wildfire season. More than 1,000 fires have burned more than 120,000 acres so far this year, according to Texas A&M Forest Service. While far below the numbers seen in 2011 and last year, the fire risk prompted 175 Texas counties to impose outdoor burn bans this summer, while Governor Greg Abbott issued a wildfire disaster declaration throughout the summer and renewed it on Tuesday. As it becomes drier, the wildfires become more resistant to control because there's more vegetation, more that we call fuel, available to burn, said Brad Smith, head of predictive services at Texas A&M Forest Service. And the more fuel you have to burn, the more intense the wildfires become. The more intense the wildfires become, the harder they are to control. Smith said fire rain is in recent years have slowed wildfire activity, but fires continue to spark around the state. On September 22nd, the agency responded to 14 fires that burned 556 acres, Smith said. That's still quite a few fires, but the average fire size has dropped, and we're not seeing the intense fires we saw back in August, he said. We have improved. Conditions have improved. We're hoping they continue to improve. Cross-section convening plan to find childcare solutions for the Permian Basin. Education Partnership of Permian Basin, in conjunction with the Permian Strategic Partnership and the Permian Basin Workforce Development Board, and with support from Coterra Energy, will host a major regional convening from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday, October 4th, highlighting the challenges and solutions of childcare in the Permian Basin. The event will be held at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street in Midland, and is designed to foster collaboration and innovation among school leaders, civic leaders, and community members within the 17 counties of the Permian Basin Workforce Development Board's service area and eastern New Mexico. The event will include sharing data from the Child Care Landscape Analysis Study, panel discussion of innovative solutions, legislative update, collaborative time for civic and educational leaders to brainstorm solutions. General admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/mtdj679f for more information and to make a reservation. Judd Campbell begins term as Odessa Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors Chair. Whitley Penn tax partner Judd Campbell has begun his term as 2023-2024 Odessa Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors Chair. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce is a volunteer business organization providing leadership to further develop and market the city of Odessa, Ector County, and the Permian Basin. Campbell has more than 20 years of tax, audit, and accounting experience with public and private companies. He has a broad range of accounting experience, including taxation, business consulting, controllership, accounting policies, internal controls, external auditing, compilations, and review of financial statements for a variety of clients in oil and gas services, real estate, manufacturing, and retail services. It is an honor to be chosen as the 2023-2024 Chair of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, stated Campbell in a press release. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce will continue to be a leader in the community by collaborating with our community stakeholders to enhance the exceptional quality of life that Odessa has to offer. I am looking forward to seeing what the future holds, and I am excited for the significant role that the Odessa Chamber of Commerce will continue to play in helping Odessa thrive. In addition to his role with the Chamber, Campbell is an active member of the community, currently serving on the Board of Directors for the Permian Basin Rehab Center. He is a graduate of Leadership Odessa and a member of the Knights of Columbus. Campbell has previously served on the board of Sky High Children's Ranch, Jim Parker Little League, Main Street Odessa, and has been involved with a variety of other charitable and civic organizations. In 2017, he was honored as a part of the inaugural class of Odessa Under 40. Campbell is a member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, and the Texas Society of Certified Public Accountants, TXCPA. He is licensed to practice public accounting in Texas and Oklahoma. Campbell received his Bachelor and Master's of Accountancy from the University of Oklahoma. Blake Moore Planetarium partners with Chevron for Eclipse Day. Saturday, October 14th, will bring tens of thousands of visitors to the Permian Basin for the opportunity to see the last annular eclipse of the century. The Marion West and William Benton Blake Moore Planetarium, part of the campus of the Museum of the Southwest, is proud to have Chevron support for this exciting astronomical event. A press release said, "This amazing phenomenon occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun, creating a brilliant ring of fire effect in the sky. It will begin at 10:18 a.m., peak at 11:45 a.m., and conclude at 1:21 p.m. Annularity, the time between during which the moon's entire disk is silhouetted against the sun, will be a little less than 5 minutes. Thanks to generous support from Chevron, the day will offer a variety of activities, including two lectures at the Helen Greathouse Discovery Dome by special guest retired NASA astronaut John Harrington, the first Native American to fly in space. U-Minds Enrichment's team will be on site providing dynamic steam programming throughout the day, as will Midland College, Texas Tech Physics and Astronomy Department, McDonald Observatory's education staff, and West Texas A&M. Seating for the Harrington Talks are limited, and registration is available online at www.museumsw.org for $5 per person. The lecture will also be streamed on the museum's YouTube channel. The Museum of the Southwest building will be open to the public starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, October 14th, and admission for the day is free to the public. Protective viewing glasses are currently available for purchase at the Blake Moore Planetarium. New additions to campus will also be unveiled during the weekend. The installation of new technology in the Greathouse Dome, the Digistar 7, will bring viewers experiences like never-before-seen dome shows, live streaming with other planetariums around the world, and educational programming are just a few of the features. Also opening is the aerospace-themed exhibition located in the Brown Science Classroom, where visitors can build a paper rocket and test its flight capabilities. We are excited to offer our campus and activities for the public to experience this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Partnerships throughout the Permian Basin are what make these community events a reality and go to the very heart of our mission to transform visitors' experiences through the arts, sciences, history, and culture. A special thank you to Chevron for this support, said Mary Catherine Marshall, Senior Director of Development and Communications for the Museum of the Southwest, in the release. OPD seizes 14 grams of cocaine, makes arrest. A traffic violation led to the arrest early Monday morning of an Odessa man on a felony drug charge. According to the Odessa Police Department, an officer saw Fabian Ortiz come out of the Whataburger parking lot on East 8th Street around 3:20 a.m. without stopping and pulled him over. After smelling marijuana, the officer said he and other officers searched Ortiz's vehicle and found 14 grams of cocaine. Ortiz admitted the cocaine was his and said he was trying to make fast cash by selling it, the report stated. Ortiz was arrested on suspicion of manufacture and delivery of a controlled substance, a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 years to life in prison. He remains in the Ector County Jail Monday night. Odessa man killed, woman critically injured in wreck. An 80-year-old man was killed and an elderly woman was critically injured Friday afternoon in a two-vehicle crash at 10th Street and State Highway 302. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 72-year-old Odessa woman was traveling west on 10th Street in a Mercedes-Benz when she failed to yield the right-of-way at the stop sign and was struck by a Dodge Ram being driven by a 22-year-old Odessa man. The driver of the Mercedes was taken to Medical Center Hospital in critical condition, and her passenger, Larry Lee Anderson, was pronounced deceased at the hospital, DPS stated. The other driver and his passenger, a 19-year-old from Liberal, Kansas, were uninjured. Everyone involved was wearing a seatbelt.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.